We're going to get into that. So thanks, Rosalie and the team who's taken the kids out. We appreciate you greatly. Bless you. And how about we all just stand? If you're able, can we just stand as we pray, as we get into the Word of God together this morning? Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we want to thank you that your Word is living and active. It is sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit. God, we thank you this morning. Lord, we let go of anything that is not of you. Any teaching, any mindset, any words that have been spoken over our lives, any trauma that's ever happened to us that still affects us, we let go of in Jesus' name. We declare, Lord, that we are hungry for you. We are hungry for your word. We are hungry to arise as the sons of God in this city and beyond. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring revelation into our hearts today, that we will then begin to truly understand what it is to be a son. We simply say, more, Lord. More of you, Jesus. Nothing of us, everything of you. And the people said, amen. Amen. I had to get a new notebook this week because my other one ran out, and Melissa chose this one for me from the hub. It's pretty cool. It says, best ever dad. I'm not sure that's me. But we do have one who is the best ever. He is good in every way. Every way. But I thought it was appropriate in a journal that says best dad ever that we're starting to talk about sonship. I did think that was appropriate. Sonship. The biblical new covenant truth. That we who were far off have been brought into the relationship between the Father and the Son. That we who once were alienated are now in Christ. And the old is gone and the new has come. Is there an amen? If you're here today and you've been born again, then you should be rejoicing at that truth right now. If you haven't been born again, then today is the day. Come to know Jesus. Experience the born again life. Because we have been brought into the relationship between the Father and the Son. What a wonderful thing. Many believers don't get this. We are sons, but we are becoming sons. That is, we are learning what it is to walk as a son. I've said this before, but from the moment that my sons were born, they were my son. But they certainly couldn't walk out that sonship. In fact, they had to have their nappies changed. They had to be fed. Eventually, they learned to walk. They stumbled at first, or they crawled. Then they walk, then they run, then they ride a bike. And in the same way, we are sons, but we are learning to walk in sonship to demonstrate more of the kingdom here on earth. Much of what we see manifest in church today shows that we do not understand sonship. Independence. Independence comes from an orphan heart. When you don't think you need anybody, when you don't need people to pray for you, when you think that you can work it out by yourself, you feel like you can just do the God thing by yourself. You don't feel like you can humbly say, hey, I need you to pray for me. It's an orphan heart. It's pride manifesting. We feel like that we can do it. I don't actually need anybody else. It's not the heart of a son. Jealousy. Jealousy. Oh, can't believe Joel always gets noticed. Oh, I'm more gifted than him. Why is he the one that's being noticed? It's an orphan heart. Insecure. There's all kinds of things that happen in modern day Christianity. Bitterness, unforgiveness. It's actually the heart of an orphan. The heart of a son, you actually can't hold offense. It's not in you. Because it's not the nature of God. You forgive and you're forgiven. It's been done. God's heart for us is that we will be saved, healed, and made whole. What does it look like if we, as believers, start not only walking a saved life, but a healed life, but a whole life? What does that start to look like when we live a whole life? It is that we become that unoffendable people that Mark prophesied about. It is that we rejoice when Joel gets noticed because we're like, this is awesome. I love Joel. It is so good. Sorry, I'm picking on you because there's no one in the front row, like just here. It's like things don't matter. Things happen and it's like, wouldn't even worry about it. You know, sometimes people go, oh, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, don't even worry about it. It's like you've got Teflon coating on. Nothing sticks. That's when we're whole. Fear. There's no place for fear anymore because perfect love casts out all fear. The one who fears has not yet been made complete. And I think we'd probably be honest. I think just about everyone, if not all of us, has something that we are fearful of. It might be financial. It might be health. It might be at your job. It might be in family, whatever it is, you know, might be of heights, might be flying in planes because you think the plane is, you know, going to crash. It might be all kinds of different things. But people carry fear. But fear is not of God. And the one who loves, the one who knows that they are loved does not fear because they've been made perfect. They've been made complete in love. That's what the scripture says in 1 John 4. This is our heart here at Restoration Center, that we would be a people that are saved, healed, and whole. Because you know what happens? Healed people heal people. That's what happens. And this is one of these things that you think you get an understanding of it, and you think you understand it, but then there's always more. You know those advertisements on the TV? But wait, there's more. You get a free set of steak knives with it. But wait, there's more. If you buy it today, we will give you two for the price of one. It's true. But it's true in God. It's true. You think you have a revelation of something because that's where you're at until somewhere down the track you get more revelation and you go, oh my goodness, I thought I knew it, but now I know it. Uh-oh, there's going to be more. That's why we're sons, but we're becoming sons. And I remember a couple of years ago, someone came to me and said, Tim, can you stop speaking about identity? We've heard enough about identity. And I thought, man, that person needs to hear about identity. It's true, because there's more. And, you know, we've all been on the journey where we think we know something only to realize that we didn't really know it after all. And then we start to know it. Do we agree? Colossians. I want to say something to you today. If Liz was here today, she'd be going, The Lord said to me during the week, he said, Tim, don't put too much in these messages. No, I have a habit of trying to cram too much into a message because in me, I'm externally processing it. But it's too much. And God said, just bite-size, Tim, bite-size. I'm like, okay. So that's what I'm endeavoring to do, okay? So we're just going to do some simple things today. That's it. Colossians 1 verse 13. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Come on. We should be on our feet. We should be standing on the chairs. I even give you permission to stand on the chairs and just praise God. He has transferred us from darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Oh. Go home and meditate on that. Open the scripture up. Colossians 1:13. Sons, walk in love, faith, joy. Man, we started here. Joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I think we have to get used to being as a presence, as a people desiring more and more of God's presence, that we have to be open ourselves up, that we're going to be see things that we haven't seen before. And we may even think they're weird. But you know what? If you read from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, you're actually going to see some weird things. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to call us to roll around in dung like one of his prophets had to. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying necessarily that we're going to spit in someone's eye. But you know what? In Scripture, there is so many weird things. There is. And to our mind, we go, that's not God, but the fruit of it is God. And that's why God always told me, don't judge the action, judge the fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. I don't know why I even said that, but anyway, that's not it. Sons walk in love, faith, joy, hope, peace, righteousness. For sons walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. That's why there's no bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, jealousy, envy, strife, adultery, pornography, lust, because that's all of the flesh. Sons walk by the Spirit. It even says that sons won't swear. No curse word, no cuss word will come out of a son's life. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you and has rule in your heart and your life. That is a good test. You know, when something unexpected happens and you get a fright, or you are trying to build something and you hit your thumb with the hammer, the first word that comes out of your mouth is a good test of where you are in your walk with Christ. True. God changes us from the inside out. Woo! How good is that? You know, sons pray prayers like this. These are called dangerous prayers. But sons can pray them because it's like, you're a good father and you have good things for me. I don't need to fear. So we pray a prayer like Psalm 19. Verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Or Psalm 51, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Whoa, that's a dangerous prayer, but it's a good prayer. It's a God prayer. It's alignment with God. That's a good thing. Why? Because they know they're loved. Do you know that you are loved? It's really easy to say yes. But there's such a depth to this. And I think for all of us, we're somewhere on the continuum and God is saying there's more. There's more. There's more. But wait, there's more. And they're not steak knives and buy one, get one free. Sons want to honor the father. That's what happens. Sons move in honor. Jesus, we only have to look at Jesus himself. He honored the Father in everything. Every action, every word, every movement, everywhere he went, he honored the Father. That's what sons long to do. They want to honor the Father. The fear of the Lord is there, if you want to put it that way. There's a reverence, there's an awe, there's a respect, and they want to walk in that. It's not a flippant thing. It's not a casual relationship. This is why we need churches and fellowships across our nation to be raising up sons and daughters that know who they are and whose they are. That don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Is there an amen in the house today? Jesus, grab a hold of this verse. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus was being baptized. And in verse 16 and 17, we read this. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up from the water and the heavens suddenly opened for him and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." What a great thing to be reminded of this morning. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He was being baptized. He hadn't turned the water into wine. He hadn't raised anyone from the dead. He hadn't even been tempted by Satan and overcome. And yet the Father's declaration over him was, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." It was that declaration that Jesus lived his life from. When Satan said, "Come and I will give you all this and all this and all this." And he was like, "I am the beloved Son of God. I do not play games with the devil." That's what he was doing. Everything. It didn't matter what the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the religious leaders said about him. It didn't matter because he knew that he was the beloved Son. And I want to say to you today, for those that are, of you that are born again, the Lord's declaration is over you today. "This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Do not let the enemy say anything else to you." When the enemy starts to come in and starts to make you feel like you're not loved or you're being judged or you're like all this kind of stuff, you can go, "Nah, that is not of God, because I know that I am a beloved son and daughter according to the word of God." I'm going to talk about sons. I'm probably not going to say daughters too much because it's not a gender thing, okay? We're born again. And we're sons, and we're going to discover that more over the next few weeks about our identity and our authority as sons. It's the same as us men have to realize that we're part of the bride. Anyway, that was just for free. Jesus lived from that place. Jesus lived from that declaration. He lived from that. He lived from love. He lived to honor. He lived as a son. We need to learn to live from love, not for love. We need to learn to live from love. I am loved, so I'm going to love. I'm not trying to do something to receive love because I'm already loved. We need to learn to live from acceptance, not for acceptance. The world is looking for acceptance. People are looking, even Christians are looking to be accepted, but you are already accepted in the Beloved. You're already accepted in Him. We're not learning to live trying to find acceptance. We already are accepted. And we're learning to live from approval, not looking for approval. That's big, because the fear of man disappears when you know that you're approved. I was reading Nehemiah again the other day. I love going back to Nehemiah. Adrian and a couple other people that visited spoke about Nehemiah, and so I just keep going back to Nehemiah. And I read something in Nehemiah, and I was like, wow, he knew. Like, there was a prophet that came to him. Well, he wasn't really a prophet. Well, it was a false prophet. The prophet came to him and said, Nehemiah, they're coming to kill you tonight. Come with me. Hide in the temple. They're coming to kill you tonight. And Nehemiah's response was, no. Who am I, a man, that I should run and hide in the temple? And then it says this verse, I recognize that God did not send him because he prophesied against me. Whoa. We today would see that as arrogance. But he knew that God told him to rebuild the wall. God didn't change his mind. It wasn't yet finished. So when someone came in and said, they're coming to kill you, he was like, that's not of God, because we haven't finished this wall yet. He was already approved, and he lived from it. Are we going okay this morning? In some ways, it's like I wrote down some notes for however long this is going to take us to get through. I'm not just talking about this morning. And I thought, Lord, I actually sat down and I said, Lord, where do I start? And he gave me one word. And I thought, let's just start with the word. And the word was represent. Or represent. To represent is to re-present. And I thought, I'm going to look up the thesaurus. I'm going to see what they say about this word. And they said this, an image of that which you represent. Oh, an image of that which you represent. The Son represented the Father. A image of that which you represent. Or to present again. I was like, whoa. And then I thought, well, now I'm going to go to Scripture. I'm going to see what Scripture says. I've got the thesaurus. And I turned to Romans. See, we're on a journey together. I turned to Romans 8. Verse 14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And then verse 19, for creation eagerly is awaiting with anticipation for the sons of God to be revealed. I love that verse because it says creation is waiting with anticipation. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but it's like creation is like a sprinter on the 100-meter block. I watch the 100 meters. I don't watch much of the Olympics, but I do watch the 100 meters because I used to do it. And this guy false started in the first heat of the 100 meters. Your muscles get into a place of anticipation because 0.01 can make a difference between winning and losing. That's just nuts. But your muscles get trained to be anticipating that go. Creation is eagerly awaiting with expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So verse 14 and 19, I thought, I'm going to go to the Greek. And the Greek word, and forgive me for all you Greek scholars out there because I am not, is huios. It's probably not how you say it, but that's how Tim Lunnan says it, okay? Huios. It is the Greek word for son in these two verses. Yep. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Yes. And creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. So what does this Greek word mean? What is the meaning of this one who represents the Father? One who expresses the character and nature of the Father. Ooh. That's deep. The character and the nature. That's important. Yes, the kingdom of God is not a matter of, talk, but it's of power. But neither is the kingdom of God a matter of eating and drinking, but about righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That right there is the character and the nature of God. Righteousness, joy, and peace. Righteousness, right living, right standing. We're walking rightly. That's why it makes sense that those who are led by the Spirit or those that walk by the Spirit are sons. They represent the Father because you see the Father in them. And I don't know about you, but Bundaberg doesn't need to see me. And I'm going to bust your boiler here. Bundaberg doesn't need to see you. What Bundaberg needs to see is the one that we represent. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, doesn't this make sense? Well, I hope this is making sense to you because it's making sense to me. That's why Jesus said in John 14, verse 9, verse 8, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. That's enough for us. Jesus said, have I been among you all this time and you do not know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. Bingo. Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. Amen? The exact representation of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed that carry the character and nature of our Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That alone should cause us to think about how we walk. Because something happens in your day and you go, no, that's not of God. No, that's not the response of heaven. No, that is not from God. Straight away. You see, discipleship is not just a lovely word that we use, but it is actually the journey of becoming like Christ. It's what it is. And this is why many churches fill their time with programs that meet need upon need upon need upon need upon need. But what happens if all we ever do is meet need is people become dependent. Can we get real for a minute? If all we ever do is meet need, people become dependent. In our nation today, we have a problem with dependency. People are dependent upon the government to meet their every need. Well, that's not the kingdom of God. That is not how the kingdom of God operates. Yes, Jesus would meet the need and then he'd say, come, let me show you another way. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. Are you with me? Are we going okay? This is why we need to get the word into us. I was going to try to eat it, but that doesn't really. This is why you need to get the word of God into you. Can I just share this with you? And I've said it before, and it's a bit off topic, but I feel to say it, so I'm going to say it anyway. Paul would go into a city, the Apostle Paul would go into a city, and he would stay there for 2 years. E.g., for 2 years, he was at Antioch. 2 years, he was at Ephesus, for example. Now, the early church would meet together every day. I understand life was different back then. I get that. I'm just trying to demonstrate something. They met together every day in all kinds of ways. They met together. So one person would have had 730 contacts with the Apostle Paul. 2 years worth. Yep. 730 contacts with the Apostle Paul. The average Christian in Australia, maybe they say they come to church on a Sunday 40 times a year. And they're not involved in anything else. They just come to church 40 times a year. It would take 14 and a half years to get the same number of contacts with the Apostle Paul if he was here today. I think we actually slow down us becoming sons. I think we actually slow down what God wants to do in us. Creation is waiting. Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, I just got married. I just bought a car. I just bought a house. What would happen if we tried to reclaim some of that which has been lost? Well, I'm going to actually put out some things in the vision night about that. I'm just going to just put some seeds out there and see what happens. This is why we need to get into the Word of God. This is why we need to be filled with the Spirit and keep being filled with the Spirit. This is why we need to yield in worship. Man, I could just keep sitting in the presence of God in that way. I love it. You hear the sound of worship just rise. Is it just me? And then I heard someone say, yield, just yield, yield, just yield. That's why we need to yield. Get into the Word of God, be filled with the Spirit, yield. For we cannot represent Him. We cannot represent the one who gave His life for us. We cannot represent Him in our own strength. We can't do it. We only need to look at the old covenant, and I've nearly finished. So I hope I haven't overloaded you today. Are we all good? Good, good. We only need to look at the old covenant to realize this. We can't do it in our own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. Israel couldn't do it. They couldn't follow the Lord in that way. They couldn't do it. They had kings who would lead them and they would come back and then they'd fall away. They'd come back and they'd fall away. They'd come back and they'd fall away. They couldn't do it. So the Lord said, and we've spoken about this a lot of times over the years, the Lord said to them, He said, I will give you a new heart. This is Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and move you to follow. You can't do it. And He knew that. And so He gave of Himself. We have His Spirit living in us. Is there an amen? So we turn to Galatians 4, if you want a New Testament passage to back this up. Galatians 4, verse 4, when the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. We might receive adoption as, come on, We might receive adoption as? Yes. Do you agree? Awesome. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. You are no longer a slave to the flesh, a slave looking for acceptance, a slave looking for love, a slave looking for approval. You are no longer a slave, but you are a beloved son. And if you are a son, then God has made you an heir. God's done it for us. He's done it for us. And my prayer as we go on this journey over the next however long it takes is that scales will fall from our eyes and from our hearts, and that we all will get a greater revelation of what the Lord has done for us and who we are now and whose we are now and the inheritance that we have now and the authority that we have now and the love that we have now and the joy that we have now and the peace that we have now, that we will get an increasing revelation because creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And right across this earth, as I mentioned on the back of worship, that the Lord is raising up houses that are reestablishing Davidic worship back amongst the bride across the nations. And I would say that we're actually not looking for revival. In fact, revival is being lowered because it's like people are using the word revival everywhere. And yet we see in the history that revival was when a nation was changed. But I think that God is restoring what has been lost. And so I think it's actually about an awakening of who we are in Christ. I think it's a revelation around sonship. Because what happened in the history of revivals is that a revival would come and 6 months later it was gone. A revival would come and 12 months later it was gone, or maybe 18 months later and it was gone. I had a friend who grew up in Wales after the Welsh revival. And they said the nation was just back where it was before the revival. True. Just as religious, just as pagan, just as far away from God. I see in the book of Acts, let me express this a little bit before we close. I see in the book of Acts a church that was born filled with the Spirit and lived as sons of God. They demonstrated it in every area of their life. They expressed the character and nature of the Father, and every year it just kept growing. Every year it just kept growing. Every year it just kept growing. 3,000 were added. 5,000 were added. Many more were added. Towns were being changed. Cities were being changed. Decades later, it was still happening. And in Acts 3, it says, heaven must retain him, that is Christ, until the restoration of all things. I might be off. I'm okay with that. But where I am with God right now is that we are seeing a restoration of all things. That where the church was born and what we read in the book of Acts is being reestablished back in the church today that will usher in him. We're not holding on until he comes. We're not. We are sons of the Most High. We are from glory to glory, more and more. The enemy wants to make us feel like we got nothing. That the enemy is winning, that we look on the news and we think the enemy is winning. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, he's a manipulator. Stop listening to his lies. Stop being tempted by his deception. And let's say, God, we want to align ourselves with your words. We want to align ourselves. We want to arise and be the sons of God that you've called us to be. Because you know what? When you start on that journey, you're just on the train and you just keep going. Because there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. But wait, there's more. I think this is the new thing. It's an old thing. But it's a new thing. It's a new thing to us. It's a new thing to the church. But it's an old thing. God's just restoring. God's restoring. He's restoring. He's restoring what's been lost. God is so good. Let me just finish with this verse. Team, you want to come up and I think we'll sing No Longer Slave, because that was in one of the readings that I read, hey? I just want to read these couple of verses from 2 Corinthians 3. Hands up who knows that we're part of the new covenant. Oh, I said hands up who knows that we're part of the new covenant. Come on. We read in 2 Corinthians 3 that whenever the law is read, that is, we're under that, that there's a veil that remains. In Christ, it is taken away. In Christ, the veil is removed. It's removed, and we begin to see differently. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. But it says in Scripture, not freedom to indulge the selfish nature. That's not what freedom is. It's freedom to righteousness. That's what it is. Freedom from being enslaved to sin and freedom for righteousness. That's what it is. Come on. We all with unveiled faces. With unveiled faces, beholding, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. You become what you behold. What are you beholding today? Who are you beholding? My prayer is that we would behold the Lord and we would truly seek his face. And as we do that, he is the one, the work of his Spirit in our lives. He changes us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. Don't have to strive. You just have to position yourself. You don't have to try harder. You just have to receive. You have to yield and receive. God does it. If you need prayer or ministry, if there's anything in this message today that is spoken to you, then I'd encourage you to receive prayer and ministry today. Spirits of rejection, orphan hearts, thinking, jealousy, envy, anything that God would set you free from those things. Let's just stand and we respond with this song. We're no longer slaves. No longer slaves. We're a child of God. That's what you are.